Thank you, ladies. Thank you, Matt. We'll give you one more opportunity before we start our study. Is there someone who has something they would like to share with us? Going once, going twice, going to 2 Peter. All right, 2 Peter chapter 3. If you would please open your Bibles. Second Peter chapter 3, we're going to begin at verse 1 tonight. You will remember the last time we met, we had talked about those who have escaped the difficulties of this world, the sinfulness of this world, and then turned their back on God and go back into sinful life, that God punishes them. And salvation can be forfeited by an unwillingness to submit to the will of God. You can see that in that 20th verse of chapter 2. It says, "For if after they have escaped the defilements of the world by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and are overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first." The first state of the non-believer is the fact that when they die, they go to hell. Now, if something's worse than that, what could it possibly be? But it has to be the fact that they spend eternity thinking, I didn't have to be here. I had life. I had Jesus as my Savior, and I gave Him up. And to live with that, besides all of the suffering and the turmoil that a person will go through in a lake of fire, has got to be unbelievably difficult. And so, Peter, as he continues on now, we move into this third chapter, and he's going to talk about the fact that in these last days, there's going to be a lot of mockery. People are going to be belittling Christ, and we're seeing it. We're seeing it all over. It comes out of Hollywood. It comes through news media. It comes through politicians. It comes through a lot of different areas. Unfortunately, it comes through even a lot of people in the church. But let's look at what God considers mockery here. Peter says, beginning in verse 1, "This is now, beloved, the second letter I'm writing to you, in which I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder, that you should remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles." Now, here's the authority that the apostles have. As apostles, they have the Old Testament scripture, the Old Testament prophecies. They have been anointed by the Holy Spirit to reveal truth and to continue in revealing truth. And they're able to discern what these Old Testament prophecies were and how God is going to use them in these final times. And then they're bringing those Old Testament prophecies into the New Testament so that people understand, look, this whole idea is not pie-in-the-sky religion. This is reality. This is truth. And so they're taking these old prophecies and they are bringing them out. Paul did it, Peter did it, John did it, every one of them. And they tied things together. Jesus himself was the example of that when you go to Matthew chapter 24. And he talks about the various things that are going to take place in the end times. And as he is talking about that, he's literally pulling out of Isaiah, out of Ezekiel, these prophecies regarding the end. And he's saying, look, this is how it's going to be. And so he is verifying or supporting the fact that these prophecies are going to take place. And now look at what he says here, beginning with verse 3. He says, "Know this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts." mockers will come with their mocking. And now he gives an example of this in verse 4. They're going to be following after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Show me the money. Where's his coming? I mean, this talk's been going on forever. Where is his coming? Obviously, this stuff of the return of Jesus is not true. Where's his coming? And folks, we're seeing that. We're seeing that all around us because people live as though Jesus is not coming back. People live as though the Word of God is not true. And they don't consider the grace and the mercy of Jesus as to why he has not returned yet. Because he is still working in people's lives to bring them to a life of faith. Verse 4, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. But the present heavens and earth, by his word, are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. Now, it's kind of interesting when you begin to look at this and you begin to understand the concept of what is taking place here. When Peter is talking about the heavens being destroyed, he's not talking about the throne of God. You see, when you look at what the heavens are and they're going to melt with fervent heat, as the scriptures tell us, of course, we know that the earth is going to burn. It's going to burn. There's going to be a new earth. And when you look at the heavens, you realize that there is partially that which we see and which surrounds the earth. The oxygen, the air, from the ground to what's that thing that covers the earth?
Atmosphere.
Yeah, the atmosphere, but they're all, the ozone layer. But there's like a shield almost. That kind of covers, and they're worrying about that tearing and breaking apart, and then this intense heat coming, that type of thing. So that's the first heaven, that which we experience as our atmosphere. And then you have that area called outer space. All right? The area where the other planets exist and the stars and you know, all of that. And then there is the third heaven, which is the dwelling place of God. And when you see that God is going to have a new heaven and a new earth, he's not referring to a new kingdom where he exists. That's going to remain. But the area that's going to burn with fervent heat, which is going to be this world and this heaven that surrounds this world, God's going to recreate. There's going to be a new heaven and new earth because the scriptures declare it. But God's kingdom is not going to burn. That's not going to be destroyed at all. And so as we keep that in mind, what Peter is talking about here is he's talking about, out of water. And you remember in Genesis chapter 1, It's a very interesting thing. But when you look at Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it talks about the fact that, the earth exists at that point, if you will. All right? But it doesn't have form. And it's without shape. And it's water mass. And remember, God speaks, and the seas open, and the earth takes form. And in taking form, it is removed from chaos to being a place of order. And in the next 7 days, or 6 days actually, God is involved in the aspect of creation that brings order out of chaos. And he creates this earth. And then he creates all of the plants. And then he creates all of the animals. He has established that the oceans will have their limits as to where they can go. They're going to come up on the shore and they're going to retreat. He has declared all of that kind of thing. The streams will run till they come to the oceans, and then all of the animals are formed. All right? They're spoken into existence. And then we come down to that sixth day where God forms man. Man is actually the only part of creation that God doesn't speak into existence, but that he forms man and creates man in his image. The animals are not created in the image of God. The plants are not created in the image of God. Man, which by the way eliminates monkeyitis. You know, that the evolutionists love to worship.
Let's worship the monkeys. Because that's where we came from.
You know, I'm going to tell you, these guys that think that their ancestors were apes are apes. They're not the brightest people in the world. All right? Because man lovingly formed, or God lovingly formed man in his image. And God didn't come from the planet of the apes. We need to remember that. Man is uniquely created by God with his image stamped on them. And that's an important aspect for us to remember. And so as we go through that, then you will remember we come to Genesis chapter 6, and man had gotten so corrupt and so evil that God destroyed them except for Noah and his family. That God destroyed them with a flood. And Peter's saying, we all know about the flood. But now the world is reserved for fire. You know, how is that going to happen? I don't know. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Really doesn't. God's going to have it happen. He's going to withhold the possibility of that until it's time for this world to fry. And that's simply the way it is. He is the one in control, not us. He has appointed a time, not us. There isn't anything we can do to make that come quicker. Sorry, Al. There's nothing that man can do to hold it back when God says, it's time. And however God chooses to do that, he chooses. And whenever he chooses to do that, he chooses. And in the last days, these mockeries are going to come. Where people say, man, we've heard this stuff forever. Why, remember, even our forefathers who are dead in the ground, declared that God was going to come. Well, where is he? Where is he? And that mockery continues to the point that even the church questions now. And so what's happening? The church is going to sleep. And the church spiritually is going to sleep. And it's becoming a playpen for the world. That's sad. That's sad. And why? Because the day of mockery has come. Man mocks God. Saying, where's the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the very beginning. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. But this present heavens and earth by his word are being reserved for fire. By his word, remember God's promise? I will never again destroy the world, what? By water. Does he say he won't destroy it by fire? No. In fact, he declares that's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. All right? But the present heavens and earth, by his word, are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. You see, folks, the church will be raptured out before the fire falls. It will. There's going to be several things that will take place. There's going to be the rapture of the church. There's going to be the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. There's going to be the final battle where Satan is released from his holding pen and allowed to try to deceive. And then the final war between God and Satan takes place. And Satan and all of his minions will be cast into the lake of fire. There'll be a new earth. There'll be a new heavens. Don't question God on that. Study the Word. Study the promises. And you'll see that this stuff is true. God is at work in this world and will continue to be at work in this world as long as this world exists. But there's coming a time. Called 8 o'clock. Would you please stand? Let's pray. Our gracious Father, as we try to live as best we can in you in this day of mockery, Lord, we pray and ask that you would protect us. Lord, that you would help us to not fall for the lies that come about saying, where's his coming? He said a long time ago he was coming. He still hasn't come back yet. Must be he's not going to. Lord, help us to not fall for that, but instead to press forward with faith, with honor, with dignity. Help us to be faithfully committed to you so that we might be able to be the voice of reason in an unreasoning age of mockery. And Father, we'll give you thanks. Now please watch over us as we leave your house tonight and go out into your field to work. Lord, help us to be aware of the opportunities that you place before us to be good witnesses. Help us to be faithful, to take advantage of every one of those opportunities that comes along. And Lord, make this world different by making us faithful and beneficial to your kingdom. Now, Lord, we love you. We thank you for including us as a part of your family. For it's in your glorious and holy and righteous name we pray. Amen.